Beautiful, wasn't it? Praise the Lord. Don't take for granted great talent God gives your church. Amen. Appreciate that so much. Before we have anything going on in the service, though, we've got to get Brother Miller to the altar because he seems like he's bitter, and I don't want to quench the Holy Spirit of God here with his sorry spirit. I don't remember. You know, but yeah. Is he being sarcastic over there? All right. Well, next time you go to the security training, okay? We'll take care of that attitude for sure, right? Well, I appreciate it. It is good to see Brother Miller anywhere. Amen. No, I'm glad to see him grow up, and you have changed quite a bit. You're actually pleasant to be around, and you started this, okay? So. You forgot I was going to get the last word, didn't you? Amen. No, but I appreciate that. I was sitting out in the foyer, and I saw Brother Jeff, right? Brother Jeff? And I looked at him, and I thought, man, he looks awful familiar. I think I know him. And then all of a sudden, terror hit my mind. I said, I think he was the coach for a year or two, right? And I said, oh, no, there goes my testimony. Because I think I did a little bit of scream. I'm a little intense in anything that I do, amen? And so, please forgive me for yelling at you and screaming and all that good thing. I'm not saying that to you, though. You probably deserved it if we gave it to you, all right? So, praise the Lord. But I want to thank the church, honestly, for always making me feel at home. I come here and, you know, I see folks that I've known. Again, like I said, they were kids, and they're still here. And what a blessing that is. And I want to thank the men for allowing me to come and train them. You got some good men in this church. You really do. They're not smart men, but they're good men, all right? They let me bring guns in here and shoot them and paid me for it. Amen. So, again, they're not bright, but they are good. And so I do appreciate that. Honestly, I do. Thank you for the room, the food, the fellowship. I got to go over to Brother Luke, Miss Jessica's house, and Miss Amanda. That is correct, right? It is correct. Now, see, down south, it's not disrespectful to say Miss Amanda. All right, up here it's, you know, Miss Angel, but down south, you know, we say Miss and the first name, so I don't mean any disrespect in that at all. But she is a southern gal, and I could just feel the southern hospitality today at the house when he ate the meal, and I appreciate that so much. Good fellowship, good food. It was really good. And she made a banana bread for me today, and I am going to probably try to eat that before I get on the plane tomorrow. But so I'll be nice and full of banana bread. But thank you so much. And I did enjoy training the ladies. Now, it's a little bit different because, you know, when they first came in, you know, they looked like, you know, ladies from the church. And then all of a sudden they got a gun in their hand and they turned mean looking. And so that's the last, you know, they started out and they were shooting the gun and wanting to do more classes, and then I came back in here this morning, and I saw the same ladies. I said, that's not the same ones that were in the shooting training. Fellas, I hope it's back here. Is it back here, Brother Joe? It is back here. Also, you knew this was going to be here probably, but this is a target from the ladies' class, all right? They did good. Matter of fact, they did better than the men, and so we're going to have a little change. We're going to have ladies security team, all right? And because the other guys were missing a lot. But this is a thank you card. Thank you for teaching the gun class. And she actually, where is she at? I can't see. Raise your hand up high, all right? Miss Monkowski, right? I told them they could take their paper target, not my cardboard. She stole this. And so, but I think this was her target. She did very well, didn't she? All right, so I'll just get rid of this thing. But I just wanted to let you know the ladies are tough and ready for it. Amen. Ready for whatever comes their way. Well, what a blessing it is. And again, thank you so much for allowing me to come and be a part of the church. I don't take it lightly standing behind the pulpit of such a great man of God as Brother Angel is. And we've had a lot of fun together. I'll tell you this. My ministry was really kind of born here. I had a desire. I had talked to my preacher, Brother Ballard, and I was here for something. And I knocked on the door, Brother Angel, and I told him my burden before this whole thing started. And we sat in the office and we talked about it, and he gave me some good direction, and we sat and prayed about it. So you have a part in the ministry, not only in supporting us and praying for us, but also in the birth of the ministry. So thank you so much for loving your pastor and allowing him to be such a blessing to so many people across the globe. What a blessing it is. Amen. So we're going to go ahead and get to the message. All right. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. Hebrews 11, verse 4. I'm just going to read one verse and then we'll get to it. I was told I had till about 8:30. Is that about correct? Yeah, you can't handle that much preaching, right? Especially from me. Maybe Brother Angel, but not me. But Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse 4. It says this: by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray you bless the reading of thy word. Lord, I pray that you allow me to preach the words that you want preached. I pray that folks are prepared to listen and open their heart for your precious word. Lord, we ask you to meet with us tonight. Be with Brother Angel. He preaches tonight in California. Lord, I ask you these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So as you read the Bible and read the stories, you know, I got to go to Israel. I've been there about 10 times now. I've been to Israel about 10 times, brought vests there, and then got to go see the sites. And, you know, I hear a lot of people say, man, the Bible just comes alive. No, the Bible is already alive, amen. But it does put a picture in your mind. It really does. I'll be reading something, and I go, hey, I've been there. I'd kneel down and grab the drink of water. I didn't lap it like a dog. I did it so I could be chosen of the 300 that would go into battle. And I've been there, saw that. When I read the Bible, I love it. But, you know, when you read the Bible, you've got to understand, and I said this morning, and I probably say it every message, this is not just black words on white paper. And when we read this book, we have to understand it happened this exact way. There have been people all over the world to try to prove this Bible wrong, and the majority of them end up getting saved, amen, just because the truth is so great. And the Bible says that the life and death of Abel, according to the Word of God, still speaks to people even years after his death. This is what it says right there, you know, testifying, it, he being dead yet speaketh. Have you ever wondered what he's saying to us when you read it? I mean, if he's speaking to us, he's got to be saying something, right? And it's simple. He's saying something. If the Bible says his death should speak to us, then what was Abel telling us so we can get a hold of it and find out? What thoughts would he deliver to us today? Because he is delivering from the precious Word of God. And so we need to understand that. Tonight, we're just going to revisit his grave for just a few moments. And we're going to listen to what he has to say to us. So maybe it'll be a blessing to you. Amen. But and again, honest, this is just a short, quick message. You know, they always say to missionaries and evangelists, keep it short, get support. Well, you already support me, so I don't have to worry about that. Amen. Now, I will take bids. $5, $5, $5. No, no take it. Oh, I saw someone raise their hand. That was probably Jack. Right? I picked on them. I appreciate you allowing me to pick on you. You're really an easy target, so no problem. All right? But Cain, you know, Cain allowed sin to take hold of his heart. And he killed his brother Abel because sin got into him. Now, I don't believe that Cain started out to commit murder. But what had happened is when sin is allowed to run rampant in the lives of young people and adults alike, you never, ever, ever know where they're going to end up or where you're going to end up. Now, this message is kind of leaning towards the young people. Once you've been a youth pastor for 20 years, you kind of have that burden in your heart. And I had no plans on doing anything with the young people back in Baton Rouge. But pastor called me up and said, hey, I'd like you to take the teen Sunday school class. And I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And I thought, man, I got away from them teenagers, you know. This used to be red and full of hair. Now it's just gray, and that's because of the teenagers. Amen. And so he asked me, and so now I teach it. Then he says, hey, would you mind having a couple activities? I'm thinking, all right, I'm back in youth ministry again. But I have a burden for young people. I don't think that will ever go away. But I don't believe that Cain ended up or started that way. You know, as a result of his sin, if you read the Bible, God placed a mark on Cain. A mark on him, and he said, you're going to be a vagabond, separated from God, running for the rest of his days. And the scripture quotes Cain saying this, my punishment is more than I can bear. And see, that's what young people need to understand. They need to understand that when they go off into sin, they have no concept of where they'll end up. And someday, if they keep staying in sin, they're going to sit in a house somewhere or a hotel somewhere or an apartment somewhere. And they're going to sit there and they're going to say, I can't bear this anymore. I can't bear this anymore. The scripture records Cain saying that, and Cain's sin not only affected him, it affected his parents. It affected his family. It affected his heritage. And young people, I know you don't understand. You have no concept. You cannot see what God wants to give you. You can't see that God's got a specific, exact person he wants you to marry one day if you'll just hang on and do what God says. Much of what we suffer in life is due to sin. The sin of others and the sins of ourselves. The Bible tells us this. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. Young people, if you could just trust God's word, it is always true. Listen, I know young people, you think you're going to be the exception to the rule. Oh, I'll get away with it. You won't. You won't get away with it. And let me just draw this in a little bit. It's the same for adults, too. I know as people get older, they have a tendency of slacking off a little bit. You know, if you remember raising your kids and you had that idiot box on in the house And if any commercial that had any bad music or anything, we turned it off or muted it. And now the kids are gone. Mom and dad are sitting in the house, empty nest. And we just sometimes let that junk play in the background. We got to be very, very careful that we don't get stuck in that, because the devil would love to use you to bring down your children, even though they're out of your house. So what does Abel want us to know? What is it tonight that he wants us to know? He wants us to know what sin can do to a life. I guarantee you, if he could stand before you today and say a word, I promise you, he'd say, sin is not worth it. What bothers me the most, and this is the biggest draw for young people, relationships. Young people will give up a whole lifetime of a great heritage for some boy or some girl that most likely they're never going to even marry anyway. I've said that as a youth pastor over and over and over and over 20 years. And the young people who are 16, 17 in the high school, and they think, oh, no, you don't understand. It's real with us. I've heard them say, when are they going to get it? When are the parents going to understand that this is real? And then they go and mess up, get in trouble, and then they go their own separate ways. Abel wants us to understand that sin will rob you of God's best for your life. I am 57 years old, going on 58, and I can tell you I'm in the ministry, and there is nothing greater than serving God. I promise you, I'm not just saying that to make you feel, wow, I want, no. It is the greatest thing I've ever been involved in, is preaching the gospel across this globe. Now, I am from Louisiana. We are always 50 or 51 when it comes to education. Seriously. You know who we fight with every year for the worst? Mississippi. I'm sorry, Jessica, but that's the truth. Education, we are dumb. I graduated from public school, went into the military, got on the police department. I'm not very educated, but I do know this. God has allowed Bill Graham, to fly over to the Philippines and stand in front of 2,500 people and preach the gospel and see people come down the aisle by the hundreds. Me. I wouldn't have chosen me. I know who I am. You know, I said this the other day, I don't know to who, but there's two people. And two groups of people in my high school when I was there. And this is the truth. The jocks and the skull dippers. I'm serious. Now, if you look at me, you probably say, I don't think he was the jock. All 5'8". I was telling Jack, when I joined the Army, I joined the Army at 19. I weighed 99 pounds. I did. I went in and stepped on the scale, and they said, go home. Put on some weight, son. So I went home. And I ate everything. My mom and wife were putting food in me. I was walking in the line 3 weeks later to get on the scale at the Army Met Station. I had bananas in my hand. You know, here's some more. Okay. I stood up. 99 pounds. The doctor looked at me and said, weren't you here 3 weeks ago? Yes, sir. You didn't put any weight on. I'm eating, bam. I'll try as much as I can. He goes, put his foot on it. You made it. Get in. That's the truth. That's what happened. I got in. Underweight. I really tried to fit in with the jocks, but I just couldn't dunk the ball. The ball was too heavy. And then I said, okay, well, I'll fit in with the skull dippers. So I went out to the skull dippers. Opened the skull. Yeah, I'm cool. Made me sick. Didn't fit in there either. That's all I am. That's me. But somewhere in a message, a man of God stood in the pulpit and he preached the truth to me. And I decided, you know what? I want to be a part of his program. And I just surrendered. I gave up a law enforcement career. I was about to be a sergeant. And I was being trained with two guys they trained three of us in the whole department, 700 people. They trained three of us to be police chiefs. They sent us all to training. At first, I was wondering why us three, and come to find out, they wanted to send us on that path because I did pretty good in the academy. I graduated number two in the academy, and the other guy was with me. Two of those guys, by the way, stayed, and they became the police chief. But I left early to be a youth pastor. So I had opportunity to be successful in the world. But I'm telling you, trust me, the greatest thing on the face of the earth, young people, is serve God with all your life. Don't let the devil sidetrack you. Don't let the devil put you on a shelf. In Louisiana, we call those things that you buy and collect whatnots. You call them that here? They're whatnots. I know too many young people that are whatnots. They have been put up on the shelf, and all they're doing is gathering dust and doing nothing for the Lord. See, if Abel could speak to you today, he'd let you know that sin will affect your life forever. Forever. You know, the Bible says, though we've all sinned and come short, I'm glad there's forgiveness with God if we'll confess our sin and accept Christ as our Savior. Now, I'll be honest with you, I read people. I've been trained to read people. The truth of the matter is, I've taken handwriting analysis with the law enforcement, and I can actually read your handwriting and tell when you're lying. I can tell all kinds of things I wouldn't say here in the public place, but I can tell a lot about someone. But I also can read facial expressions. I'm an investigator. That's what I do. And I'm telling you, there's some young folks in churches across America that I stand in the pulpits and I look at them and I'm telling you, I can walk to the pastor and say, I bet you have problems with that kid and with that kid and that kid. For what? For what? What are you going to gain in this world? You can serve the King of Kings, Lord of Lords, and be blessed your whole life. It really does. Picking on you a little bit, it really is a blessing to see you in church. I saw you as a young boy playing basketball. You were a good ball player, too. But did your basketball do anything for you today? Absolutely not. These boys think they're going to be basketball heroes. But what I like seeing is young man serving the Lord. That's what it's all about. Abel speaks of us about the effects of sin. Number two, Abel speaks to us of the shortness of life. I can't believe it. I'm 57. You keep saying, why do you keep saying that? Because I can't believe it. 57. Tim, you were a teenage boy. You played basketball, and I coached against you. And I'm sorry if I screamed at you. I probably did. He beat us. Yeah, you did. That's why I don't like you. All right? Come visit me in Louisiana. I'll give you a place to stay. Three meals every day. Nice, nice, comfy bed. Lots of roommates. All right. But I can't believe it. How old are you now? Life is going by so fast. Abel tells us life is short. Abel was just a young man when he died. He'd not yet yearly begun to live out his life, his days, and his life was cut down before time. We know death is reality and is appointed unto men once to die. But we're made to believe that only the old people, the aged people die. But that's just not true. Have you ever read the obituaries? I know that's kind of creepy to read them, but I do read them occasionally just because I have a desire to see, and I don't know why, but that young person, I hope he's saved. There was a young boy in my Sunday school class, and I'll make this a short story. There was a young boy in my Sunday school class in Baton Rouge before I became a youth pastor. And he was faithful to church, and he quit coming. We'd go visit him, and then he'd come back. And then he disappeared again. And I was walking in the detective office one day, and he was sitting in the detective office. I said, "Man, what are you doing here?" "Oh, I got caught shoplifting." I said, "I told you, quit hanging around the crowd." He was a pretty good kid, but he hung around the wrong person. Let me say this, just off the dollar menu. Just because kids are in church does not mean they're godly kids. You better have some discernment, mom and dad, before you allow some teenager to spend the night at another teenager's house. You better be very careful. But this boy was in trouble, and I went and talked to detectives and kind of got him off a little bit of trouble. And I said, "Man, you need to straighten up. You need to come to church." "Yes, sir, I will." Well, he came again for a little while and disappeared. Never would answer the door. I'd go knock on his door. He wouldn't answer the door. His mom wouldn't answer the door. It wouldn't have nothing to do with us. One night, I was dispatched to a call, a shooting, just a shooting. The kid didn't live in Baton Rouge. I policed in Baton Rouge. I got a call. Now 700 cops, now more. And I get the call to go to the house, walk in there, and there's been a shooting. And there's a teenager that's laying on the sofa in the front living room when I walk in. When I walk in, there was a pyramid of beer cans about this tall, all the way down. On the little coffee table, there was a paper bag. You know, garbage or grocery store bags back in those days were paper, not plastic. And the details that I remember is the very top was rolled over once, just kind of folded over outward. And it was open, I guess, and it was full of marijuana. Beer cans everywhere. And there was my Sunday school boy, laying on the sofa with a bullet hole right here. Gone. Gone. My Sunday school kid. Life is short. And let me give you some advice, young people. Give your life to the Lord early. And stay in the will of the Lord. You'll have great peace. You'll have joy that you never had before. Listen to me. I know people, and you know, the young people who love the Lord, they just seem so happy. I pan around the room and see young people, and I see young people in churches everywhere that they got problems. And they think that if I could just get out from under, what, the God's umbrella? Because that's exactly what you do when you go do your own thing. We don't know what tomorrow has in store. The Bible says, "For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away." Those of you that are my age and older, didn't it go so fast? Didn't it? I mean, I'll be honest with you, I don't like empty nest. I don't. I used to go, yeah, just for joking's sake. But I don't like it at all. I want my kids back. I'll take Bailey too, though, okay? But it's so short. Even as you live out all your days, how quickly life passes. The Bible says, "For it is soon cut off and we fly away." Even if you live till you're about 80, in that long march of time, you still need to live for the Lord. Just because you're gray-headed don't mean you get to quit. All right? Just because you're bald don't mean you get to quit. The Lord wants you to be fired up about things of God. We can shout and scream at basketball, and I'm all for that because I did my share of it. We could shout and scream about football and any kind of sports, volleyball. But when it comes to things of God, we're going to be serious. You're going to be miserable if you're saved when you get to heaven. Because there's going to be Bill Graham there. I'm going to be shouting it out. Are you ready to meet the Lord? I said he speaks of the effects of sin. Speaks of the shortness of life. Abel speaks to us of a salvation of a life. First, Abel stands as a testimony of life that refused to offer less than his best. And he's in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, among the heroes of faith. When Cain was doing the things that were wrong, you know his brother saw it, but he decided to stick with it. Hey, don't hang around that kid who's not doing right, young people. I didn't say you have to dislike them or diss them, but you should distance yourself with young people that will drag you down. I'll be honest with you, I didn't have this philosophy when I was raising kids, but if it was today, never, ever would my child ever stay at someone's house. Never. And that's ministry, and that's law enforcement that I receive. Never. I know the kids are not, oh, great. You've ruined our life. Don't even get me on cell phones. I won't go there. Kids will turn me off, boop. Moms and dads will turn me off, boop. But I won't go there. I got to be nice. I'm almost done. Abel stands as a testimony of one more Satan couldn't get. I swear, Reardon, brother, is it Andrew, right? I went to your house when you were this big and ate dinner at your house with your folks. You know, I didn't know you were the youth pastor till I got here. And then Brother Joe told me you were the youth pastor, and he said he's doing a great job. You don't, and I know I wasn't a youth pastor, didn't really have a lot to do with you. You were too young, really, to be any good at basketball, and you probably weren't anyway, but I'm just kidding. But if you knew the joy that filled my heart when I heard that, man, another one stuck to the stuff. What a blessing. I'll finish up. I'll get to my last point. Abel speaks to us of the influence of a life. Abel didn't just die. Though dead, the righteous live and live on and continue to speak forever. My pastor, Brother Bob Buchanan, that's who I grew up under. That's who I listened to preach. You know, Brother Ballard is from there. Brother Mike Ray is from there. Brother Gomez is from there. I'm from there. We got missionaries from there. Brother Buchanan, to me, is a hero. He's a hero. And his ministry will live as long as I stick to the stuff. As long as Brother Ballard sticks to the stuff, and Mike Ray sticks to the stuff, and Brother Gomez sticks to stuff, his testimony, his life will live on. Why don't you young people decide to be the same for a Terry Angel? You know, you can live on and serve God and make people hear the gospel and give your life. And I didn't say you had to be a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary, but you ought to be a soul winner. Amen? The greatness of a man isn't only determined by what he does in life, but what he does in death and beyond. So what is your life going to say? Yet dead, but speaketh. Yet dead, but speaketh. That's what influence is. It's so powerful. Whatever good we do for God in this life won't only follow us into eternity, but will continue to live on and impact those who still live on. I got a son who is assistant pastor today. And as a matter of fact, he went all through high school and at the very end was fighting the will of God, fighting the will of God. And he went to an R-Time conference his senior year. And I saw him on the last message come up to me and say, Dad, I've been fighting God's will for my life. And I'm going to surrender right now. And I'm going to go to Bible college. Amen. And today, he's sitting in a church, serving the Lord, doing great things for God. He's got a wonderful wife who loves the Lord. And I'm telling you, you cannot pay me enough to say what that is, how great that is for me. I'll take that any day and ask any mom and dad. Ask any mom and dad, what's the greatest thing you could ever have happen? and be my child, my son, my daughter, will follow in my footsteps and serve God the rest of their life. When I leave this life, like Abel, I want the good that I did to continue to have an impact on my children and their children and their children. So I'm done. Let me ask you this question. What is it that Abel wants us to know? What is it that you learned tonight that you know God wants you to do for him? The Bible says before the stars were placed in the sky, he knew you. And he knew what you were supposed to do for him. The problem is many people don't. Abel wants us to know that sin will destroy us. Abel wants us to know that life is short. Abel wants us to know that you don't have to stay lost. You can get saved. And lastly, Abel wants you to understand that your influence on the future generation could be mighty and great. There could be another Terry Angel here. There could be another Keith Gomez here. There could be another Mike Ray here. We just need our young people to get a hold of this and live it and stay in it. I could probably mesmerize you with stories that I have seen in 34 years of law enforcement. I could. The destruction of Satan on lives of young people. And every time I saw a young person somewhere, either shot, ran over, overdosed, whatever it is, every time I'd go, I wonder if they were saved. I wonder if they were saved. You know what? They're not going to get saved if you don't do what you're supposed to do. You need to be a mighty force for God. Abel saying, hey, be a soul winner. Tell people about Jesus. So what are you going to do about it? Are you going to listen to Abel? Are you going to listen to yourself? Every head bowed and eyes closed. Let me ask this quick question. This is the Sunday night crowd. I know that. But I'm still going to ask this question and one other, and then I'm going to turn it over. But here's my question. If you're here tonight and you do not know for sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior, today is the day of salvation. I would beg with you and plead with you to come down to the altar. Get it settled once and for all. Because today is the day for you to settle that. If you're here today and you're saved, you know you're saved and you're on your way to heaven, raise your hand for testimony. I'm looking around the room. Okay, you can put your hand down. Now, according to the majority, and I couldn't see everybody, y'all are saved. So let me ask this question to you. How many of you know that God wants you to do something for him? Whether it be soul winning, teaching a class, singing songs, being a faithful church member. How many of you know that there's something the Lord spoke to you about during that message? And you know you need to ask the Lord to help you with that. If that's you, raise your hand. Anybody? Hands up all over. I appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. So invitation time. There, you know, you can take care of it in your seat, but there's just something really special about bringing that to the altar and asking the Lord at the altar. This is the place where the healing, this is the EMS of the spiritual world right here. When the invitation takes up, why don't you get up, come to the altar. Young people, why don't you come to the altar and ask God to help you serve him with your life? Older folks, why don't you come to the altar and maybe pray for someone that you know needs to hear a witness. As the piano begins to play, Brother Miller, why don't you take over?
Let's stand to our feet. If you raise your hand, I encourage you to come tonight. Do business with the Lord at the altar. God spoke to many hearts tonight. God squeezed our hearts. Don't let this time pass by. If the Lord spoke to you, respond. Spend time with him. What is it in your life that the Lord wants you to get right? What is it in your life that God spoke to you about, that He wants you to pray about, make a decision about? I encourage you to come forward tonight. We heard from a preacher who has seen so many lives play out. He's seen the scriptures be true in this thing of doing right, living for the Lord, and the consequences of sin. How about it tonight? Did God speak to your heart? Take your time at the altar. Do business with the Lord. Father, Lord, thank you so much for the message that we heard tonight. Lord, thank you, Lord, for speaking to our hearts. And Lord, I pray that the decisions that were made tonight will be carried into this week, Lord. And thank you so much for Brother Graham being here. And Lord, thank you so much for the message. Lord, help us take heed to it now. In Jesus' name, amen.